Okay, so beginning a brand new sugya. But the truth is, it's really a leftover from the previous sugya. So the previous sugya, we spent a lot of time talking about Yesh Beger B'Kever, Hein Beger B'Kever. There was a lot of lumdus in terms of, not really the previous sugya. Really, the previous sugya was actually Shalosh Nosh B'Shamshas B'Mech, with two sugyas ago. So the Gemara was discussing whether Yesh Beger B'Kever, Hein Beger B'Kever, Nafkamina is whether it's Yerusha B'Kever. A lot of stories. But in the middle of that sugya, so at one stage in the sugya, the Gemara was assuming that you could have a possibility of this girl having a baby, even though she's not quite yet a bageres. So you might have a lot of trouble with that from the biological, from the medical point of view. How in the world did that happen, that this girl ended up having a baby, and she has a yerish now, and she's not yet a bageres? It doesn't seem to fit into all the anatomy and the biology stories. So the Gemara tried to bring a raya from the sugya of Sholosh Noshim, Shamsas B'moch, which of course became a whole new sugya, to try to disprove that reality, to disprove that possibility of this little girl having a baby in the first place. So the basic point in the Braisa, where the Gimel Noshim and Shamash Shmach that proved that beyond the shadow of a doubt, was when the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Meir, one of the girls who could be Mishamshas B'moch is the Ketana, because Shemesh is Shemetis Abba V'Tomos. The reason why Rabbi Meir permitted her to be Mishameshes B'moch is because he was concerned that on the off chance that she's going to become pregnant, she's going to die. So the Gemara here is clearly assuming that statement of Rabbi Meir, Shemeshes Abba V'Tomos, means that if she becomes pregnant, she will die. That's the reality. Whether she's going to become pregnant or not, your guess is as good as mine. But if she does, so then it's going to be an outright mamash, a death sentence. Shemetis abe v'tamus. So because the Gemara was working with that assumption, that Shemetis abe v'tamus means that b'teres badai, therefore the Gemara was assuming there's no ekatim, there's no case. What is the case that this girl is going to have a baby? If she didn't become pregnant, she hasn't become pregnant. If she becomes pregnant, she's going to die. So there is no case of a girl at such a young age, giving birth to a baby and being alive and well to tell the story about it afterwards. It can't be. It's impossible. That was the premise of the Gemara's kasha. So all the Rishonim jump on this Gemara and say, that doesn't seem to be correct. The way the Gemara is presenting Rabbi Meir Sheet of Shem Tesav Tomos Petaras Vadai is contradicted by the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos, back to the Yevamos days. Who's around Yevamos? No, you came second half. Okay. So back to the Yevamos. It was Dr. Berman, the Yevamos days. So, were you with us for Yevamos? I don't remember. Yevamos? No. Before your time. Okay. So, back in the Yevamos days, the Gemara in the first parak also quoted Rabbi Meir Shita, and via the Gemara interpreted Rabbi Meir to mean not that Shemetis Aber Vitomos Vitaris Vadai, but rather Shemetis Aber Vishematomos. It means there's a chance that she's going to die. It's a danger. Rabbi Meir wasn't making an absolute blanket medical statement that every single Ketan who becomes pregnant is going to die. Rabbi Meir was just saying there's a real concern, and therefore we have to be Matar Shemesh B'moch, and the whole Chagadji, well, that's based on. But Rabbi Meir never ever meant to say that Shemetis Abba Vit Tamos B'Teres V'Adai. Zim Kain, all the Mishem Avadad, if the Gemara never committed itself, Rabbi Meir never committed himself to an absolute certainty statement, it is possible, even in the worldview of Rabbi Meir, it is possible that the girl could become pregnant and actually survive. It's unlikely, but it's possible. So then why did the Gemara reject the original shadow about Yesh Beger B'Kever? The whole shadow of Yesh Beger B'Kever was working with the premise that there's a Metzius case. You can have this little girl became pregnant, she's not yet a bageres, and she has a live baby, she's alive, it's alive, everyone's alive, and then she dies later. So the Gemara rejected that possibility because of Rabbi Meir's statement. And the way the Gemara Yevamos understood Rabbi Meir's statement, that's only a Shemet Tisaber, a Shemet Tomos, it's not a Vade Tomos. So then the whole question of the Gemara here doesn't make any sense. That's the Kasha Old Rishonim. So come a group of Rishonim and thought to chisel away at this Kasha, this Sugya in the Gemara. So comes the Meiri in our Sugya, which the truth is the Meiri didn't make up this Teretz. It's actually quoted in the Tosfos in Maseches Yevamos, but it's not in a regular Tosfos. It's on the side of the Gemara Yevamos. There's what's called Tosfos Chad Mikamoi. We have no idea who this Tosfos is from. We just know from an earlier Tosfos. I'm not sure who the later Tosfos is, but the Tosfos Chad Mikamoi. I think the problem was when the printers, when they started to reprint these Tosfos that weren't on the standard daf. So we know we have our set of Tosfos that appear on the regular daf, and then every once in a while another Tosfos got thrown in. So we got the Gilyon Tosfos got thrown in for good luck, the Tosfos Yesharim got thrown in for good luck, the Tosfos Chamei Kamoi got thrown in for good luck. So they had to come up with some catchy, snazzy phrase, you know, who are these Tosfos? Where'd they come from? Chamei Kamoi, one of the earlier Bali Tosfos. Okay, whoever that was. So it was a Tosfos. Bottom line, it's a Tosfos. So it's a Tosfos Chamei Kamoi, it's a Meiri and a Sugya. It says the answer to the dilemma is as follows: that yes, it's true that Rabbi Meir's shita is that Shema Tisabe Vishema Tomus. The emphasis is on the Shema, that it's possible that she's going to die. But according to the Rabbanan, she's never going to become pregnant in the first place. According to the Rabbanan, this is not going to happen. It's an impossibility. She's never going to become pregnant. And that was the Gemara's kasha in our sugya. When the Gemara jumped and said, "Hey, what are you telling me a story? Who the Oz is going to work? Pink was going to work." Okay. So comes the Gemara here and says that you have a case of a little girl who's got a yore, right? She's got a child. Remember the Gemara said that yesh bega bekever, and maybe it's udibnohave. So the Gemara jumped and says, "Hey, wait a second! She's never going to have a child. It's impossible to have a child." So we thought the Gemara was asking for Rabbi Meir shita. Rabbi Meir, it's not possible according to Rabbi Meir. It's not probable, but it's possible. So comes Taisus, comes in here and says, "No, the Gemara wasn't even asking for Rabbi Meir shita. He was asking for the Rabbanan shita. According to the Rabbanan, she's never going to become pregnant. Forget it. The 10-year-old girl's not having a baby. It's never going to happen." And that was the Gemara's kasha. So comes the Taisus Chaim Kamar, comes in here and says, and now we can begin to understand what the Nakudas of Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim was back in the sugya of Gimel Nashim Mishamshas B'Moich. Remember that the famous sugya, famous Machlokes. Rabbi Meir permitted a certain degree of the birth control, and the Chacham said, no, don't do it. So what was the Nakudas of Machlokes? So now Zavkiv Yishanim, I understand the Nakudas of Machlokes. According to Rabbi Meir, there's a real danger. She may become pregnant. It's unlikely, but she may become pregnant. V'shem atamus. What's mamash b'kuch nefesh? Chashash b'kuch nefesh. And the Rabbanan said, nah, there's nothing to worry about. She's never going to become pregnant in the first place. That was the machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. That, the reason why the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Meir is because they thought she's never going to become pregnant. That's not what it says in the Gemara. What does the Gemara explain? Show up Sayyim Hashem. If you read our Gemara, it sounds like the Nakudas of Machlaikis in Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan was a Machlaikis in how to be Magdir risk in Halacha. According to Rabbi Meir, you're not allowed to take this risk, and according to Chumim, you're allowed to take the risk because it's so unlikely, people aren't concerned. It's like it's a Machlaikis about can you go skiing or not. It's a Machlaikis going to play tackle football. It's a Machlaikis going to go play hockey. It's a Machlaikis in Show up Sayyim Hashem types of things. That's the Nakudas of Machlaikis. What the Taisus Chaim Kamar, what the Meir and Hasugi just did is, they took the Machlekes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim out of the issue of risk-taking, and they put it into pediatric endocrinology Machlekes. Is this girl going to become pregnant or not? It's a totally different Machlekes. Mamash don't do anything. According to Rabbi Meir, the reason why you have to practice birth control is because it's dangerous, because there's a chance she's going to become pregnant, and there's a chance she may die. So it's Pikuach Nefesh. According to the Chacham, there's nothing to worry about. You know why there's nothing to worry about? Not because the Chacham had a different understanding of risk-taking in Halacha, but because the Chacham had a different understanding of the development of young girls in biology. So according to the Chacham, she's never going to become pregnant. They're from the male. There's no heter to use the birth control. That's a whole different picture of the Gemara. It doesn't seem to fit into the Gemara. It's a very, very difficult shot. It doesn't seem to fit into the Gemara. But I'll call upon him, what prompted the Taisus, what prompted the Meiri to say such a pshat, is, how can Agamara say that Yesh Bech Bekevah Dugnohave, it can't be because you can't have a child, it's impossible. Vishtay, it's impossible to have a child. The Gemara says in Yevamos, in the first Bech, went to Rabbi Meir, it's possible. So therefore, these Rishayim had to make up and say, according to the Chacham, it's not impossible. It's a very, very difficult pshat. We understand, we appreciate what prompted these Rishayim to say it, but it doesn't seem to fit into the Gemara. So comes the Meiri in Maseches Yevamos and throws another Mahalach. I guess he understood that it's first shot, it's a difficult shot. The Eidish Leimer, we ask the Kasha, how could the Gemara say, how could the Gemara ask, there's no child? What do you mean there's no child? It's possible, unlikely, but possible. Comes the Meiri and says, no, the Gemara is asking textually. You, who's it, Rabba, who had the Shiloh? Who is it? Rav has the Shiloh. Yesh Begel Bekever. So Yesh Begel Bekever. You're asking a shaila, you're raising a baya, you're raising a question, a query about something that's so unlikely to happen. I know, says the Gemara, that it's possible for this girl to have a baby. It's possible because I learned Yevamos Daf Yud Beis, so I realize it's possible, but is it likely? Very unlikely. And therefore, says the Meiri, the Gemara's kasha was, we're not going to discuss a shaila on something that's unlikely. That's not a way to raise shailas in the Gemara. You're not going to pose a query about a case that almost never, ever, ever happens. The odds of having a baby are so unlikely. That was the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara has the kasha, the top line, testing it off. Umiba Abra, will she really become pregnant? Will she really have a baby? I know it can happen, but since it's unlikely, therefore, we're not going to raise a shaila about this. Now again, we should know enough Gemaras already to realize the difficulty of this pshat also. Why? Is the first place in Shas that the Gemara asked the funny shaila, that the Gemara raised the shaila, something that's unlikely? I mean, we've been learning for years. Come on, you got a list of the last 7 or 8 years of shailas that never happened, never will happen. Come on, we do this all the time. It tells you in the beginning of Maseches Ksubis, that sometimes the Gemara raises these wild, wacky shailas, never going to happen, in a billion years are not going to happen. So why do we raise them? Why do we discuss them? So one of two reasons. Number one is Torah Hu Olam Benitzach. There's absolutely no difference in the midst of Talmud Torah between learning sugyas of Bais HaMenuga and learning sugyas of Hilcha Shabbos. It's all the same Torah. You have to understand what the Chochmas Hashem is Baruch is in every single possibility. That's number one. And number two is we already know very often you can have a sugya that's so not Lamaisa, Shah so not relevant, but the principles, the underlying principles will become relevant and will now be the major factors between Paschim and Shah. There really is Lamaisa. So just to say that a Shaila is not going to happen, it's unlikely, and therefore don't talk about it, that doesn't seem to be the general approach in terms of how we learn sugyas, how the Gemara seems to operate. So the second Shah, the Miri, is also very, very difficult. Again, we appreciate where the Miri is coming from. We can commiserate with the Miri. We understand that he's having trouble. He's sitting, the Miri, the Halia Miri, sitting in Provence, sitting in southern France somewhere, in the Middle Ages, and looking at the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Umima Abra, it can't be, she can't have a baby. Says Mir, what did she can't have a baby? You yourselves, back in Yevamos, not that long ago, only 120 days ago in Daf Yomi, we know exactly what the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Yevamos, that it is possible, unlikely but possible. So why did the Gemara jump in Ksubas? What was happening in the Gemara? The Gemara is so bothered with Ksubas Daf Lametes, if in reality is she can't have a baby. So one third of the Mir was, Rabbi Meir holds it's possible, not the Chachamim. So we had a textual problem with that, because that doesn't seem to be the Nekudas HaMachlokes in Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Then we had the Eidish of the Miri. The Gemara realized that she could have a baby, but it's unlikely, therefore the Gemara shepherd on that. That's also very difficult textually, because that's not the Derech HaGemara, just to reject the bias because they're unlikely.
With regard to the first understanding of the Miri, what was the difference between the
answer of the Chamar and the... So we thought that the Chamar agreeing to all the anatomy and biology of the Miri. That it's Shemit Isav and Shemit Tomos. It's possible, but the Chum was saying it's so unlikely. It's like playing hockey, according to those who have been playing hockey. It's like getting on a bus. It's like getting on a plane. It's a risk, but it's such a minute risk. And Ramea clearly had some different strategy as to how to analyze risk taking.
But then wouldn't that mean that if we understood the Chum that there's a risk, but it's such a minute risk, and aren't they therefore being loaded that in theory she could have a child?
Right. That was accurate. That's a cash against the Miri. I mean, so then we don't understand the Gemara. The Gemara asked, Umiba Abra, it's impossible. So the Meiri said that it's impossible according to the Chacham. According to the Meir, it's possible. According to the Chacham, it's impossible. So we're saying, wait a second, if that's the reason why the Chacham said it's also to do with birth control, because it's impossible, so therefore it's not with Tzarech Klal, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Shob Sam Hashem, that means I agree to the Metzias just as much as Rabbi Meir is, but I'm not worried about the Metzias because it's unlikely. Okay, so either Pshat Miri, we understand, we appreciate, we sympathize, we know where the Miri is coming from because he's trying to read the Gemara in Ksubas and a lot of the Gemara in Yevamos, but both of the Pshatim, he's suggesting, both in Yevamos and Ksubas and Tosis, Chad the Gemara, all these Pshatim are falling flat in terms of the style of the Gemara, in terms of the Lashon and Gemara.
Back to the first Pshat Miri, we're assuming the whole question is just whether she's going to die or not, so how we evaluate risk. Everyone, you pointed out, a lot of people said that Chachamim would agree if it's such a... If it's life or death online, you can't be stupid.
Right.
You have to.
Right. So the Chachamim. So either the Machlekes Rabbi and the Chachamim is somehow within the Gedarim of Shalom Pesarim Hashem. Maybe that's a Machlekes, or maybe it's a Machlekes within. It's not a Machlekes in Halacha. It's a Machlekes in Metzias. How to evaluate this particular case? Whether it meets those Gedarim. Either way, it's a Shalom Pesarim Hashem Machlekes. It's a Shalom Pesarim Hashem. Either it's a Machlekes as to what the halachic guidelines of Shalom Pesarim Hashem are. Everybody agrees to show some Hashem guidelines. Now we're trying to plug in the Metzias.
But if it's going to lead to death, even the Chachamim would agree that.
No, not if it's a crazy. It's a crazy game. Going on a plane, but also Chalila sometimes lead to death. So I understand. Any way you tie up the Machlekes, as long as you put the Machlekes within the risk Machlekes, that I understand. But if you put the machlokes, okay. But if you put the machlokes within a biological machlokes, it's very nice. But that's not what the Gemara says. But the Chum should have responded back. The Rameh says shalosh lashem sham shes b'moich. But the Chum should have said Chum omim achaz v'yachaz b'shemesh kedarka v'holaches. But the Chum should have said because our biology books say that she will not become pregnant altogether. That's not what it says. They're not quoting the Ma'adah, they're quoting the Torah. They're quoting a Pasuk, you can't do that. If it's a Ma'adah Machlokes, so she quoted a Pasuk from Ma'adah, don't quote a Pasuk from Torah. Okay. In June's market, say whatever I want. Okay. So we're really, really having trouble with this Gemara. We really don't understand Pshat, this Gemara, Mima Abra. The Gemara is rejecting the possibility. We didn't reject it. It's very possible there may be a baby here. It's possible there's a baby here. Why is the Gemara rejecting the possibility of this baby existing? So comes the Rashba and takes a third approach to the sugya. But in order to appreciate this Rashba, we have to go back to the sugya Maseches Yevamos. We have to really read the sugya of Shalosh Nafshos V'Sham Shel Tzemach from the eyes of Maseches Yevamos. Do we have Mar Makomos for this also? No, not yet. Okay, we'll try to do about that. Why in Maseches Yevamos were we even talking about Shalosh Nashim Sham Shel Tzemach? In Ksubas, I understand why, because we got into the Yesh Beg B'Kever story and we're trying to figure out is there a baby, not a baby. But what prompted us in Yevamos to even discuss birth control? Remember, Dr. Murmur, all the way back, it started with the first mission of Maseches Yevamos. So we have to reacquaint ourselves with the first sugya of Maseches Yevamos and then see why we got into this Shalosh Nashim Sham Shel Tzemach in the first place and how we ended up there and how we got out of there and how it's going to affect us. Let's backtrack for a minute. Out of Ksubas, forget about Yesh Bech B'Kaf, forget about Nashim Sham Shel Tzemach for a minute. Go back to the ABCs of Maseches Yevamos, the Beis and Menachos. So the first Mishnah of Maseches Yevamos opens up with a klal that everybody agrees to. Namely, if you have a potential mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza, but doing Yibum will be a violation of Gilui Arayos, so everybody agrees there is no Yibum. Let's say a simple case. Here we got Reuven, Shimon. Remember our regular standard key for Yevamos. If Reuven and Shimon are our brothers, we'll give a very, very simple case. Reuven is married to Rachel. Shimon is married to Leah, and Rachel and Leah happen to be what? Happen to be sisters, okay? That's like the ABCs of Yevamos. If we just stopped there, Yevamos would be easy. The problem is it becomes much, much more complicated. So Reuven dies. So when Reuven dies, what happens? Rachel should theoretically fall the Yibum or Chalitza. There should be a Zika between Shimon and Rachel. We have a problem. Since Shimon is married to Leah, what Isra is that? For Shimon to go ahead and do Yibum and Rachel, it's going to be a violation of Achaz Ishtai. So she goes free. So there's no Yibum, Rachelitz, no Zika garnish, because it's a Yibum and Mokum Erva. What's the Mokum for this din? How do you know this? How do you know this din? What's the Mokum? How do you know? Take more quotes of Pasuk, right? No, I don't remember. Take more quotes of Pasuk. I'm here in my Sechaj. Vamos. It says, Ivi Isha Lachosol Lo Sikach. So there's an issue of Achas Ishtai. So the Torah uses a word in the Pasuk of Achas Ishtai, Aleha. So I'm not in the word, seemingly unnecessary. I should have just said, V'isha l'chasel l'tzroa l'osikach l'tzroa l'galos ervasa b'chayeha. What do you mean Aleha? Aleha conjures up a certain image. Aleha is talking about, when you see the word Aleha, that's a code phrase for B'makom Yibum. How do I know that? There's another pasuk that uses the word Aleha, Yevamoya v'Aleha, way later on, Chumash Rabash Kiseitzei. So this is Gzeir Shava. Aleha, the famous Gzeir Shava, Aleha, just as the word Aleha in Pashas Kiseitzei is talking about Makom Yibum, so too the word Aleha in Pashas Achrimais is also talking about Makom Yibum. And what does the Torah say? V'isha l'chasel lo sikach, don't do that. Litzroa legalos ervasa Aleha, even though it's a Makom Yibum, even though your eye is to fulfill the mitzvah of Pashas Kiseitzei, don't do it. Isha l'chos l'sikach. That's the mokar, that there's no din of Yibum b'makom erev. That's the opening sugya that beis Maseches Yevamos. Of course, who remembers the kash? What's the famous kash of the Gemara that takes the first six blot of Maseches Yevamos to try to solve? Why do you need a what? Why do you need a pasuk for? How could you possibly do an isser? What was the half of me you would have done an isser? I have a mitzvah Yibum and an isser veishazach. So, of achas ishtai. So I would have thought that you do a nisa. Were you crazy? I would have thought you violated the sakaris. You create mamzerus to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum. That's crazy, right? So Gemara says, what would the halim you don't need a pasuk for? What does the Gemara say? What's the Gemara's answer? Not so crazy. What is not crazy? What? I say dechalosa say. So the Gemara says, I would have thought that an asay is dechalosa say, kamash balan, that here you don't say that. To which the Gemara asks, no. It's chazar yivamus guys. Chazar, chazar. Didn't we learn this? The Gemara says, what are you talking about? The klal of asay dechalosa doesn't apply to los asay sheish, but kores. Everybody knows that. That's exactly what the Gemara talks about for the first six blot. So the Gemara says the starting point of the pasuk, the reason why I need a pasuk is because I would have made a case to say Esed Echalosa say, even though it's a Losa Seishish Bekoresh, Zetman Fendor, that Esed Echalosa Seishish Bekoresh. Wow, is that true? Is it not true? And the Gemara goes flying for five, six blot to try to figure this out. But that's all the background of the Gemara. Remember when I was learning Maseches Yevamos the first time, so I used to get very excited by Zmiras because I used to sing the Zmiras. Which one is it? He shalach osal litzror legalos al yomtim pasig. No one sings that. Shabbos ayom mayon lashem. So most people when they sing that song they get very excited about Shabbos and Ruchnius and the Sudis and Einik. I used to get so excited when I get to that pasuk. He shalach osal litzror legalos al yomtim pasig. That's not what the Baal Zemer had in mind, but he was playing on the words. And one bracha leading to another bracha, Ishalach Hasal Tzroah, the Galaxy of Chasi. So I would always think about this Gemara, the Beis Masechet Yevamos. I told my kid to the Shabbos, I was trying to explain it to him, I'm not sure they understood exactly, but so my father's Yerzeit was this Pesach Shabbos. So I was planning on, we were going to have a Siyam. Mer Yaakov was supposed to make the Siyam, they finished Masechet Kedushin, so he was gonna make the Siyam. So then at the end of the Thursday night, I told him he was going to work the Shabbos. I was always Siyam. So he didn't pretty much. So I was stuck, so I needed to make a Siyam. So I was trying to scrounge around for someone to pick a Siyam on. So I could have done the old way, Hurrius, Nachov Hurrius, Tumid, those kinds of things in a few hours. But Baruch Hashem, the good news was that I had never made a Siyam on Masechet Yevamos from Daf Yomi from 3 months ago. So I was always in the back pocket. If you learn Daf Yomi, you always have a couple of Siyam in the back pocket. I probably had made a CM on half the things in Moab also, but I made a CM show, I made a CM on Masechet Yevamos. So I was trying to explain to the kids about how hard Masechet Yevamos is. I was trying to explain to them, it's a real, really hard Lima Masechet Yevamos. So I told over a story, I don't know whether they were. They were good, they understand the story. But my wife understood it. I said, it has to do with Shidduchim. I said, when I was in Yeshiva, so when I had just come back from Kirmi Avna my first time around, and I was done in college, so I was learning B'chavusa with Danny Mann. Some of you may know him from Gross. Anyone learned from Gross? No, with Daniel Mann? Anyway, he says it like some of the Shirim in Gross. He's a Dayan. He's a very, very, very fine Talmid Chacham. So we had learned B'chavusa together for a couple of years in YU. So he's a year older than me. So I was 20, he was 21. So we decided that we're going to learn together B'chavusa for the next 2 years. That was a two-year, most people don't sign off, a two-year commitment. So we learned B'chavusa 2 years, and our plan was we're going to learn Yevamos and Ksubos for a night seder. That was the one. Yeshiva was learning, but we're coming that year. We're going to learn Yevamos and Ksubos for the next 2 years. So we had a latest asofik. The latest asofik was, should we learn Yevamos first and Ksubos next, or Ksubos first and Yevamos next? That was it. What? Yes, that was our shadow. What should we do first? So he was very smart, really on the ball. He said to me, thinks we should learn Yevamos first. Why? He said, because right now, he's only 21, he's not planning on going out this year. He said, but by next year, already he thinks he's going to start going out. So he said, this year he knows for a fact, he's every night said, we'll never have any distractions whatsoever. And out of the two Masechtas, Yevamos is much harder than Ksubos. He said, we should learn the Yevamos so we have a little bit more Yeshiva Das. Ksubos, who knows what will happen next year? So he was a Chacham Adam from Navi. We learned Yevamos every night. Well, I wasn't going out. He wasn't going out. We mamash learned Keseda, we finished Yevamos. And the next day we started Ksubos, and boom, he met his wife during Ksubos. So, Baruch Hashem, we still learned Night Seder, still respectable Night Seder, but there were a few breaks. He got married that year. It's a couple of breaks here and there. Kachav, and we learned Yevamos, we Yishav Adas, and Ksubos. So, Adayim is that. 30 years later, I'm still. Better Tfis than Yevamos and Ksubos. Second half of Ksubos. Especially the second half, all these parachim and daf yomi now, not as shogar b'fi. Not the yevamos is a shogar b'fi, but I'm still weaker on the second half of Ksubos. I think it goes back to those years that it wasn't exactly wasn't the same as the learning yevamos. Anyway, whatever. It was getting back to the story. So, what was it? Telling the story? I forgot. If your mom is okay, good. So I was trying to tell this to my kid. I didn't know what I was talking about. My wife got upset. What are you telling him about going down and learning? He's 13 of them. We miss 8. Let me have to know. Okay, anyway. So getting back to the story. So this everybody agrees. So this is the ABCs. This is Yevamos 101. Everyone accepts this. But now, Yevamos starts to get exciting because then the Mishnah records in Machloikas in Bisham and Bisilel about the following. A little bit of a complicated permutation of this. If Reuben dies, and Rachel falls to Yibum, so there's no Yibum, and she goes free. What if Reuben has two wives? So Reuben has Rachel, there's another wife, Dina. Dina is not related to anybody. So now when Reuben dies, so I understand there's no Zika for Rachel. What about for Dina? If it would have asked me, I would have said, Avada Dina has to do Yibum Achalitza. What's the Shaila? She's not an Erva. Why shouldn't she do Yibum Achalitza? So who says that? Who says that? Bishami says that. Bishami says in Achanan. Bishami matirus atzaros liyachin. Bishami says not just matirus atzaros, mechayvinus atzaros. According to Bishami, there's a din deraisa. A din has to do yibum chalitza. If not, she's the mamasha. She's the nesis amesis. Yivam l'shok. There's no shaila, says Bishami. And Beisilo comes up with this unbelievable chiddush. Beisilo says no. Just as the Torah is poiteres Rachel, not only poiteres, but it's also for Rachel to do yibum chalitza. It's also to do yibum. So to Dina gets Ptura as well. That's the din called Tsaras Erva. And if you go ahead and do Yibum on Dina, you're in violation of a terrible Issa. What's the Issa? There's an Issa deraisa of what? Not a Chazisha, of what? Of Eishazach. You know why? Because since Beis Hillel holds, based on apostle, we'll see in a second, that Dina is Ptura, so it turns out that if you go ahead and marry Dina, that's like marrying Eishes Achiv, it's like being boil Eishes Achiv, Shlub Mokom Mitzvah. Every Eishes Achiv is an Issachares. It's always a riot, except the Torah gave you a quirk of a Xeris Akosov that called Yibum. So if and when Yibum applies, so the din applies, the heter applies. If Yibum doesn't apply, then she's still a blight, yes, sir. She still remains in the Issa Deraisa of Eishes Achiv. So Eishes Achiv, Shlub Mokom Mitzvah is an Erva. So comes Beis Hillel and the Mishnah Dav Beis, and Mesechta Yevamos, and says that just as the Torah Patas Rachel from Yibum Chalitza, so to the Torah Patas Dina, since she's Ptura, Memele, she's Asura. What's the mocha for this Ptura? Where did it come from? What's the mocha? It doesn't make any sense. Bisham is right. Where did Beis Hillel figure this out from? What's the answer? V'isha alachosa lo sikach litzror. Hatar rips a tzoris. That's what the Gemara says. A lot of tzoris. The Torah is not bad. It licked in this pasuk. This gzeres akosav. Bishami didn't see this. Bishami read the same pasuk. Didn't see any of this. But Beis Hillel learned that psa drush at their eyes. They had this understanding of the pasuk. That just as Rachel is p'tura, so too din is p'tura. That's the din called Tzoras Erva. So this issue of Tzoras Erva was a major, major controversy in the days of the Tanoim. For 100 years, the Talmidei Bishami Beis Hillel were fighting out this din of Tzoras Erva, back and forth and back and forth. Finally, in the later days of the Tanoim, it was Nimna V'Gomru, Halakha Beis Hillel, that's it, Bishami was rejected, and Adkan, that's it, finished. Adkan was it Machlekes, and here on in there's no such Machlekes. That's where the Gemara concludes in the end of the first Brecha Maseches Yevamos. So this is all the background. We're still the background to the background to the background. Comes the Mishnah in the beginning of Masechet Yevamos Daf Beis, all packed into this one Mishnah. And the Rabbi Yehuda really throws this Mishnah at you. You open up Yevamos, he doesn't start off like, you know, with a whimper. It starts out with a bang, the Masechet. So now comes Rabbi Yehuda and tells us another din in the Mishnah. Let's say, let's say this scenario was true. Reuben was married to two women. One was an Erva, one was a Tzaras Erva. But before Reuben died, which is we assume is the moment of truth, before Reuben dies, before this moment of truth of when the Zika should be Chal, Rachel and Dina were no longer Tzaras. Something happened to the marriage of Rachel, which bumped Rachel out of the picture before Reuven dies. Now, what could possibly bump Rachel out of the picture? A few things could bump Rachel out of it. What could possibly bump her out? Either she was divorced or she died, right? A couple of things could have happened that could have knocked Rachel out. If Rachel is out of the picture and now Reuven dies, so although one could have potentially thought that's also called Tzaras Erva, maybe one could have argued that since the since Rachel and Dina were tzaras at one time in history, maybe that's also called the tzaras erva, which in fact the Gemara quotes one opinion that actually maintains that way, but we don't pass like that. The first mission of Amos says, no, this is what's called Misa Mapelas, that only the Shas Misa is the time that creates the status of Yibum, either for or against, and since B'Shas Misa, Dina and Rachel are no longer tzaros, so then Rachel doesn't exist. If Rachel doesn't exist, it's just a plain and simple case of Yibum. Reuven dies, Dina goes for Yibum to Shimon and Shalom Yisrael. That's the first Mishnah. So the Mishnah starts to list different things that could happen that could... We killed Rachel too early, right? Different things that could knock Rachel out of the picture. So what are some of the things? Either... I don't mean to make arrows, that's going to confuse people. So different things that could bump her out. What do we say? Misa, Gerushin, those are the easy ones. What's a complicated one? What's like a real, like a mamashaya? A wild way to bump Rachel out of the picture. Really wild. Milan, who would have ever thought Milan? Now you got to know already the 13th Perek of Yevamos when you're reading the first Mishnah. I don't know how anyone can get past the base in the Masechet Yevamos. You have to know the 100 blot later in order to figure out the base. So comes the Mishnah and says that if Rachel will be Mema'enes before Reuven dies, so then it turns out, this is even better, because it turns out they were never tzaros, but it doesn't really matter for us. It turns out B'Shas Misa, so then Rachel and Dina are not tzaros, so Vaita, so Dina goes and has regular Yibum Chalitza, right? So that's another thing on the list. So it could be either Misa, it could be Gerushin, maybe there's another thing there also, but Mima Enes would also be a good idea. That's also a possibility. So far, so good? Comes the Mishnah on the Beis Nevamos and says, let's go through the different lists of Arayas. Who are the 15 women? Remember? Because I lost this one, right? The Jeopardy, right? Because I lost the... You weren't there for the Jeopardy? This is the famous question. You were there, Dr. Remember, right? The Jeopardy question. They need who are the 15 Arayas, and the rabbi couldn't get it. I fell short. One or two. So comes the Mishnah that rattles off all the different possibilities that Shimon can be married to someone who's going to create a situation of Arayas. So let's give some examples. So this was an easy one. This was Achaz Ishtai. Right? This is a simple one. Can we think of another one? Let's not make them sisters. Let's make the following. Let's call Leah the who? The daughter of who? Of Rachel. What's that going to mean for us? If Leah is the daughter of Rachel, when Reuven dies, Rachel's going to fall for Yibum to Shimon. Can that happen? What do we call that? What's that, Issa? What? Emas Ishto. Okay? We call that in Halacha Chamoisai. Hold on, you get a shvigar, okay? Chamoisai. He's not allowed to marry Chamoisai. Why is he not allowed to marry Chamoisai? What's the Issa Erev of Chamoisai? Torah says, what does it say? Ervas Isha Obita Losagala, right? And Isha Yikach is Isha Ves Ima Zimbahi. So there's an Issa to marry Bas Ishtai, and there's an Issa to marry Aim Ishtai. There's an Issa to marry Bas Bi Ishtai, there's an Issa to marry Aim Ishtai. So Chamoso goes in the same direction, same way Bas Ishto is also, Chamoso is also as well. Psukim Beferish, Achimos Kedoshim, there's no question Chamoso is Missa Deraisa. Okay? So the Mishnah says, in the list of the Chamesh Esrei Nashim, so not only if Rachel is Achas Ishtai, but if she's Ein Ishtai, that's also going to be a problem. So far, so good. There's still the background. We didn't get anywhere yet. So comes the Mishnah and says, when we give examples of bumping Rachel out of the picture before the moment of truth, we give a few examples, right? What were some examples? We said either Mesa Rachel, or what? Or Nisgarsha Rachel, or what? Or Miana Rachel. Comes the Mishnah and says, these three possibilities don't exist in all the cases of the Mishnah, of all 15 cases. You know why? Because one of the cases in the Mishnah is Chamoso, and that's going to be a big, big problem, right? Why is that going to be a big, big problem? What's going to be the problem of Miana Rachel, and yet she's still Chamoso? Because, hey, wait a second, she's got a baby, right? She's my wife, this little girl, Leah. She can't be all that old. So Shimon's married to Leah, and we're saying in the same breath, Shimon is married to Leah, but Leah's mother, Rachel, is still a candidate for Miun. That smacks of trouble. Anyone who learned Sugya Zemian recently, what? Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel. Means, how can you have a girl, a lady, a woman, whatever you want to call her, how could she go ahead and be with my NS, and yet she's a mother? So she's a mother-in-law, she's my mother-in-law, she's doing Miyun. So that's what the first Mishnah Yevamah says, that v'lo ashka, what's the Lashon? Not the Lashon of the Mishnah, chava, what's the Lashon of the Mishnah? Iyata motze. What? Where's the Lashon of the Mishnah? Oh, come on. Iyata motze b'chamayse b'manes. I think Kaiser's close to there. Somebody close to there, no? Where is it? Come on, we gotta get it. I need the Lashon of the Mishnah. The bays in your vamas. No. The race against time. They're trying to get to the North Pole first. Nobody. That's it, right? So you gotta see it. It's like poetic, it's like dramatic. The Iyata Yochel. What is it? Shemir, you can't have a case. It's impossible. There's no such case of being a mother-in-law doing miyun. That's a stira galuya. It's impossible. Ad kan devriya mishnah. Comes the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Beis and says, why is it so impossible? Why is it so impossible? No. Why is it so impossible? She had a baby when she was what? When she was little. She had a baby when she was 9 years old. 10 years old. Look at it. She's not yet 12 years old. She's not yet Higil Simonim. She's not yet a Nara. We learned enough earlier this year, a couple of weeks ago. When you're a Nara, then I understand you can't do Mir anymore. The Deraisa, the Rabbanon, Godly Kedusha, that kind of, you know, the Baal Masivas, Rambans. But we know why you can't do Mir only up to 12. But before 12, what's the problem? So we ask the Gemara, what's the big deal? Right? Yes, well, what's the big deal? What do you mean, Iyata Maitzi? It's impossible. How come you did not say it dramatic? It's impossible. It's possible. She's doing Miyun and she's still 8 years old. That was the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, no, it's impossible. You know why it's impossible? Because she's never going to have a live baby. You know what the Gemara says? It's not true. Who told you she's not going to have a live baby? Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir never said that. What did Rabbi Meir say? Shema Tisaber, what? Vishema Tomus. Shema, it's possible she'll be alive. So Gemara says, since we know for a fact that Rabbi Meir also accepts the remote possibility that you can have a 9, 10, 11-year-old girl having a baby and surviving, and the baby, everybody's happy, everyone's alive, everyone's well. So, Bahadur Kushla Duchta. Why does the Mishnah conclude that Iyata Yachalama Bechamosim Ma'enes? Why not? That's the Gemara's Kasha Masechet Yevamos. To which the Gemara answers the famous klal. What's the famous klal? The Gemara says, no. It's still Iyata Motzi. You know why? Because Banim what? Who knows? Banim Hareim Kisimonim. Says the Gemara, once she has this child, they're like Simonim. What does that mean? She becomes a what? A Gedoyla. Once she becomes a Gedoyla, then what? What can she no longer do? She could no longer do Miyun. And that's shot of the Mishnah of Beis and Yevamos. Wow. Is that an opening line of a Mishnah or not? So again, you have to first understand the basic din of Yibum Be'erva. Then you have to understand the din of Tzara Serva. Then you have to understand that when the women are not Tzara Svashas Misa, so the din of Tzara Serva doesn't apply. Then you have to understand the three different ways to become no longer a Tzara Serva. One of the ways we're focusing is on Miyun. You have to understand the Gemara says, Iyatam Hotzi B'chamosa Shimim Ha'enes. And then you have to understand the Gemara's kasha. What do you mean? It's possible she has a baby. She's 9, 10, 11 years old. What do you mean she doesn't have a baby? She has a baby. It's possible. It's remote, but possible. But the Gemara says, no. She's going to be a gedola. Because if she has a baby, then Bonarim can see Mar, she's a gedola. If she's a gedola, then she can no longer do Miyun. So since she can no longer do Miyun, the nail of the case isn't going to fly. That's Pshat in the Mishnah Beis in the Masechet Yevamos. Clear as day. Comes the Rashi and says, now that you know all that, now that you've learned your Vam stuff, your base properly, now you understand the Gemara here beautifully. The Gemara reads like a charm. What does the Gemara say in Ksuba Staf Lamedes? The Gemara asks, hey, wait a second, Umima Abra, You want to have a case of Yesh Be'er B'Kever. Your goal is to create a scenario of Yesh Be'er B'Kever. So you have to find a girl who's not yet a Begeres, who's having a baby. Right? Because remember, that was the Gemara Shaila. Yesh Be'er B'Kever U'Debno Havei. Remember, that was the whole Shach B'Tai of the Gemara. You're telling me there's a scenario, there is a case on the board of a girl who is not yet a Begeres, and she's got a live baby to boot. Right? That's your Shaila, Rabbah. He asks the Gemara, that Shaila is a moot Shaila. And I'll tell you why. Says the Rashi. I'll tell you why it's moot. No matter how you read Rabbi Meir, there are two ways to read Rabbi Meir. Either Rabbi Meir said, it's impossible for her to have a baby, or if it's possible for her to have a baby, then what must we accept? What is the absolute chayfala yava principle that must be true if it's possible for her to have a baby? You are mechuyev to accept what? Banamrim kisimanim. Because if you don't accept banamrim kisimanim, then you are contradicting, you are out the door, you have been rejected by what? By the opening Mishnah of Maseches Yevamos. The Mishnah Yevamos says, Iyata, you got to read it with that slavos again. Iyata yachol loyma b'chamayse shema'enes. It is an impossibility to have chamayse me'enes. That's given. Can't argue with that. There are two ways of two conclusions you can draw from that. Either because she's never going to have a baby as a child, or once she has a baby, she's no longer a child. So one of those two things have to be true. You cannot reject both of them. So Lichten, the Mishnah Yevamos that obeys, is the absolute reality of one of two facts, one of two possibilities. Either Ein Ktana Yerledes, it's possible, or it's Ein Ktana Yerledes, not because of Metzias, but because Mikavon Sheyolda, she now becomes a Gedola. One of those two things must be true. They can't both not be true, because then the Mishnah Yevamos is wrong. So one of these two must be true. So if the Rash ben Asugya, that's the Gemara's kasha. Omina Abra. The Gemara is saying, you are telling me this case of Rava, that you have a Yesh Be'er B'Kever, and there's a baby here. She's a Ketana. The baby's alive. It can be, because we're Man of Shach. Either the baby never made it, because she never made it, everyone's dead. Or if you can tell me everyone's alive, she's already a Gedola. When she's ready to get done, and then the Yesh Be'er B'Kever Shaila is a moot Shaila also. That's the Gemara's Kasha in Ksubas Daf Lamed Tes. Who here read the Gemara's Ksubas Daf Lamed Tes? Who here realized that's the Gemara's Kasha? The Rashba did. Where were we? That's how the Rashba read the Gemara. So it's a Memonashach Kasha. It's not like the other Rishonim were learning the Gemara's Kasha was a simple biological Kasha. She's not going to have a life. She's not going to make it. She's not going to survive. So the Miri said, what do you mean she's not going to survive? The Gemara in Yevamos says she will survive. So the Rashi says, you're right. The Gemara never said, Bevado, she's not going to survive. The Gemara is playing it both ways. You want to tell me she'll survive, then you must hold Banim Kisimanim. So Lichten the Gemara, it's also a textual issue. Lichten the Gemara is, she's not going to survive. And if you tell me she will survive, then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to respond back to you, Banim or Kisimanim. That's the Kasha of the Gemara.
Balim
Siv is okay. Balim Siv is too complicated. So Rabbi Sai, this is a pshat. Wow, this has got to really know Yevamos Daf Beis really well to say this pshat. Out of the three pshatim in the Rishonim that we have, just to read the Shach Matan and Gemara, I don't like to do this, but I have to do it anyway. Which pshat is the best pshat? The Rashi pshat is the best pshat. The two pshatim in the Iri are so difficult. According to the Rashi, the Gemara was just makatzer a little bit. The Gemara was assuming that you knew learn Yevamos well. Because everybody knows you learn Yevamos before you learn Ksubas. That's not a shayla. So at least I can read the Gemara's Kasha. According to the Meiri's Pshatim, the whole Shom Sam Hashem just fell apart. According to the second Pshat of the Meiri, the Gemara was asking Akasha, why ask funny shaylas, which we never heard of such a shayla ever in all Shas. According to the Rashba, we have to add a little bit of an information to the Gemara, but it's information that's easily accessible. If you have a Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Beis, and Daf Yud Beis, you put the pieces together, then you understand where the Gemara is coming from. So, Vahatani, namely, Rabbi Meir is telling me is that it's a Shemer Tisaber V'Shemer Tomos. So it's either way, but no matter what Rabbi Meir meant. Either Rabbi Meir meant that she's going to Vahatai die, like this is one possibility, maybe she's for sure going to die. And if you tell me Rabbi Meir meant she's maybe going to die, then I'm going to pull the Gemara and Yevamos out to you. So you're right. According to the Rashba, the Gemara should have asked, "I vatani daf beis and alaf and Yevamos." The Gemara shouldn't have added that. So the Rashba,
the other pshat in the Gemara.
Right. So the Rashba says that, yeah, that's all part of the same kind. So we're going to assume for now the pshat that we want to go is the Rashba. We want to salvage this Rashba pshat at all costs because we're very nervous about the other two pshatim.
Also, after that, the the next question of the Gemara v'chitim and the Ibra kishinar v'olida kishinar. So once we're already at that point, we already know that once she gives birth, she can't be.
Because the Gemara is still playing with the fact that maybe she's not yet quite a begeris. Right, the Gemara for our purposes, the Gemara is not really interested in the Miyan. The Gemara is just trying to figure out is she not yet a Bogeris, to which the Gemara thought, well, if it takes 8 months to become Bogeris, so then maybe she had a baby already. So that's what the Gemara had to come to 6 months for. So this Rosh Bishrat is Gevaldik. It's Rosh Gevaldik Bishrat. I mean, textually, we got to touch it up a little bit. Conceptually, it's really, really good. Because ultimately, the principle of Bonim Kisimanim is going to undermine the baya of Rava, because Rava's baya was what? Rava's baya was yesh bega bekever u'dibna have, assuming that the timeline of the Rashba of the Gemara was that she became pregnant and she's having a baby and she's not yet a begeris. To which the Gemara says, no, can't be, it's impossible, because b'marim kisimanim. So therefore, she's already a gedola. Let's be careful. It's not enough to make her into a gedola. What do you have to make her into? Into a what? A begeris, right? When we say bonim harem kisimanim, what point does that kick in? I didn't say bonim harem kibegeris. Bonim is kisimanim of na'arus. So she becomes a na'ara at the time that the bonim exists. When did the bonim exist? Give me the moment in time. So it's no question how the Rashba holds. At what point does she become a gedola? At the time of pregnancy, at the time of conception. So now the Gemara reads like a charm. The Gemara is saying, hey, wait a second. If the babies are not surviving, she's not surviving, so then Rava's shayla is out the window. And even on Atzad, the remote possibility the baby's surviving, she's surviving, but she already became a gedola at the time of conception, Bon Merem Kisimanim, which leads us to what happens 6 months later. She already becomes a begeres 6 months later, and she hasn't even had the what? The baby yet. That's the Gemara pupils with the 6 months. So according to the Rashba's pshat, when the Gemara is asking Banim Rem Kisimanim, this line doesn't exist in the Gemara, the Banim Rem Kisimanim part of the pupil in that Gemara is saying that she became a Na'ara at the time of conception, which the corollary is she becomes a begeris 6 months later, and therefore the Gemara is asking Rav, what's the shalul de b'no havi? Because yesh begeris, she's already a begeris. That's the flaw of the Gemara according to Rav. She's already a begeris. She became a begeris 6 months after she became pregnant. So the Rashba is without a doubt assuming that bonamarim kisimana means not when the babies are born, but when the babies are what? Babies are conceived. This is not Oshta Rashba who says this. Tosis writes this way in Yevamos as well. Porsche Tosis writes that Bonim Kisimanim means at the moment of conception. So this pshat of the Rashba, the only way it's going to fly is only if you take a stand on Bonim Kisimanim. If you interpret Bonim Kisimanim to mean Mishas Ibur, Mishas Irayam, then this pshat could fly. If you for some reason think that that's not true, if you somehow want to sell me a different case and tell me that Bonim Merem Kisimanim does not apply b'shas Hirayon, but it only applies to Shas Leida, which could maybe, I mean, I have no idea what Bonim Kisimanim are. If you want to tell me, you want to play devil's advocate and tell me Bonim Kisimanim only applies to Shas Leida, then this pshat is going to be a non-starter. Right? Everyone with us? Everyone understand that? The whole Rashba is hinging on Bonim Merem Kisimanim meaning Mishas Ibur, not Mishas Leida. So you open up the Rambam in Perek Beis V'chus Ishus, and the Rambam presents the sugya of Bonim Merem Kisimanim. What does the Rambam say? Anyone know? Very basic. Chazishus? Leida sabonim. The Rambam is befeirish. Leida sabonim. That's a big problem. It seems to be that there's no way, once the Rambam committed himself to Leida sabonim, there's no way in the world that the Rambam could learn the pshat like the Rashba, which is not so comforting for us, because we don't really have a great other pshat in Mechilas Kav the Heligim Iri. We don't want to go down those two routes of the Iri. We like the Rashba's pshat. We think in Lomdus it's the best pshat, but we realize that the pshat is hinging upon this reality of Bonim Kisimanim meaning a certain thing, which the Rambam doesn't accept. I'm going to make matters even worse for us. Bonim Merem Kisimanim. get service right now. Yivamas, Bar Rav Simon. How old is this girl? How old is she? It sounds like however old she is. She's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, however old she is. Bar Rav Simon, right? The Rambam happens to have another unique statement, unlike other Rishonim and Perek Beis and Chazishos, where the Rambam writes, "Bonim or Harem kisimonim, 100%. Whatever role simonim have in halacha, bonim have as well." Therefore, says the Rambam, if you have a girl who's 12 years old, who technically is not bas mitzvah yet because she doesn't have what simonim, if she will have a baby after the age of 12, she will become a gedola. We've without simonim. However, implies the Rambam, what if she's only 11 years old and she has a baby? Mazel tov. But she's what? She's a l'ktana. According to the Rambam, literally, the Rambam took the words of the Gemara literally. Bonim harem kisimonim. Whatever simonim accomplish, bonim can accomplish the same thing. Since simonim are necessary to create godless in a 12-year-old girl, bonim can create godless in a 12-year-old girl as well. Simonim cannot create godless in an 11-year-old girl. 11-year-old has all the simonim in the world is garnish. She's still a katana. So just as simonim can't create godless in an 11-year-old, bonim can't create godless in an 11-year-old either. So the Rambam just put two unbelievable limitations. He put the brakes on the din of bonim kriyat simonim. Number one, he told you bonim kriyat simonim is only at the later point of shas leida against the Rashba. And number two, he told you that Bar Rav Kisimonim only applies post-godless, not post-12, not pre-12. Once the Rambam just told you the second piece of information, is there any way in the world for the Rambam to read out Gemara like the Rashba? Forget it, because the whole Gemara's kasha was, hey, there's no case, because who is this girl? The B'nohava, Yesh Be'er B'kev, who is this girl? Either she's not alive because she died with her mother, or she's alive and well, and her mother's a what? A begeris, right? According to the Rambam, I have a great case. Her mother became pregnant when? When she was when? When she was 11. She was born, Mazel Tov, at 11 and 9 months. And you know what the mother is? Not only she's not a begeris, she's not even a what? She's not even an Ari yet. According to the Rambam, that Banner and Kisiban only kicks in post-12, the whole Gemara doesn't make any sense. The Gemara jumps and Rabban says, what are you talking about? That's crazy. There's no case. Because Banim Rem Kisimanim, that's what the Rashba's basic kasha in the Gemara was. Because Banim Rem Kisimanim. But the Rambam says, yeah, Zolzai Banim Rem Kisimanim. But Banim Kisimanim only works after 12. So what was the Gemara's kasha? So Lechora, after seeing these two blatant statements in the Rambam that are flying in the face of our sugya, I would have thrown in the towel. I would have raised the white flag. I would have said, the Rambam cannot learn this pshat. The Rashba pshat was very tempting. It was a very tantalizing pshat. It can't be the pshat according to the Rambam. The kashas are too overwhelming. Because according to the Rambam, Banarim Kisimanim is limited to Shas Leida, not Shas Hirayim, which is the underpinnings of the Rashba pshat. And number two, the whole kashas Gemara doesn't make any sense. According to the Rambam, you can have 99% of the time where you have a baby and you still look Tana. So Bechlau, what was the Gemara's kasha? So I would have thrown in the towel. Problem is I have nowhere else to go because I kept on telling you that I loved the Mihri, but I can't say it's pshatim. The only pshat that I really liked was the Rashba. That was the Lomdusha one because it got me to explain Yevamos. We had to talk about Yevamos for 20 minutes, so I really, really liked it. But according to the Rambam, I'm hit into a brick wall. So I would have given up long ago. But Reb Chaim had more perseverance than me. So if Reb Chaim is Chadushim and Rambam, the Rashba's pshat is the emes pshat in the Gemara. And the Rambam also learns like the Rashba. There's no question, Zok Reb Chaim, that the Rambam learned like the Rashba also. No question. I have two big kashas. What's pshat? So Rabbi said, in order to understand, to really appreciate Reb Chaim's beer, we have to go back for a moment to the Rambam's two chidushim and bottom kisimonim. Two tremendous chidushim that the Rambam had. Two tremendous limitations. One was, Bonim is only Mishas Leida. And number two, it's only combined with Bonim plus what? What's the other phrase? Plus Shanim creates Gazos. Bonim without Shanim doesn't do anything according to the Rambam. We have to understand what the nature of these halachas are. what is this all about that according to the Rambam, Leida not Heroyim? What is this all about that you need Banim flush on him? The Gemara says, Banim Kisimanim. Sounds good to me. And yet the Rambam is putting the brakes on. We have to take 10 steps back to the Rambam of Chazishas Perek Beis and understand what the nature of these limitations are. And if we properly understand where the Rambam is coming from, then maybe we can go back to the Gemara of Subastaf Lamites and read the Gemara like the Rash, but even Bedasa Rambam. So if you ask me, I'd say we're about to embark upon the impossible. Two glaring kashas. So you need Reb Chaim. That's what we need Reb Chaim for. Tomorrow, Reb Chaim's going to take us on a trip through understanding what the Rambam's sheet is about, the unique halacha of Banim Rem Kisimanim, and how even the Rambam, who at first glance cannot possibly read the Gemara like the Rashba, must ultimately learn the Gemara like the Rashba as well, because that's the only chapter we really have working for us. So tomorrow, we'll take us at 11 o'clock tonight. 11 o'clock tomorrow.